All right, kids. You guys ready to go?
Yeah.
I'm stuck. Hang on. You ready to go? All right. I'm going to get untangled here and you guys can just go. Lord bless you. There we go. All right. Sorry about that. Lord bless our kiddos as they go. Well, that was good. Well, yes. Good morning. There, finally. Whew. Got all untangled. That was kind of weird. Yeah, COVID has been rather crazy. It's the effects of COVID and on our lives, and it's been interesting listening to different people, pastors and church leaders who are looking at culture and kind of trying to discern a little bit about maybe where it's going, but also kind of the effects of things that are happening right now. And there's plenty of habits that are changing. And, you know, if it was only around here for, you know, 3-4 weeks, maybe it would have been not quite as impactful on people's habits. But there's so many ways that, that you know, we've been doing things so strangely for a year now that a lot of people are actually, you know, really changing some of their habits, like church attendance or even the gym. The home gym is, you know, you try to buy weights or anything like that. They're pretty expensive right now. The price of weights, I don't know if you ever looked at them, but the plates, you know, they go by pound kind of, you know, and it's like right now they're really expensive trying to find them. So maybe in about 8 months when everyone can go back to the gym, they're going to be really cheap. I don't know. But they're kind of speculating that some habits have really changed, that some of the effects are going to be long term. And so we'll see. We'll see how that works. But another thing that's really been interesting, or not interesting, but one of the downsides of COVID has been kind of the loneliness and the isolation. Because we have been, forced or asked or however you want to look at it, but to not to be together. And loneliness before COVID was growing. And psychologists were actually seeing it as something that was you know, it was becoming a major issue for people because, being lonely and that feeling of loneliness is not good for us as humans. It's not good for our well-being. And so along with that loneliness comes a sense of isolation or even more so insignificance. More and more people are feeling like, I'm just completely insignificant. I don't know, have you ever had that feeling? Ever had those moments where you're just like, I feel completely, absolutely insignificant? Well, there's a way of having that feeling too, though, that's actually a little bit in a good sense. You ever, like, been outside and looked up at the stars on a really clear day where you can see them and go, whoa, wow, I'm just nothing, you know? You can feel like you're completely insignificant. And there's a picture I'd like to show you, but it's called the Pale Blue Dot. Some of you have seen this. This is a picture taken by one of the Voyager probes in 1990, and you can shoot that up there, or not. Is it gone? What's that? The pale blue dot? There it is. Okay, perfect. I don't know if you can see that, but on that screen there, there's this little dot. So do the next one. It'll actually point to it if you can't see it. Dang, there it is. Sweet. So that pale blue dot, what's really cool about this picture is it kind of created in the culture at that time this real sense of almost insignificance, because that pale blue dot was taken by Voyager probe 3.6 billion miles away from Earth. That's Earth. Isn't that cool? It's like the vastness of space. That's 3.6 billion miles away that this probe was that took that picture. And it's just this pale blue dot. That's it. That's all we were. And there's this sense of kind of overwhelming, like, man, I am like, we are insignificant. There is so much happening out there. And it created this sense of awe and wonder. And for Christians, it kind of turns us towards the Lord. Because King David was another one who he wrote many psalms and stuff like that. And he kind of described this well in Psalm 8. I'd like to read that for you. Psalm 8, at least the first part of it. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him. So I can kind of picture David. Obviously, he wasn't looking at that picture. But, I, you know, maybe out on a day, you know, who knows when he wrote this, you know, but looking out, seeing the stars and just be overwhelmed by God. Just have that sense of complete insignificance and yet at the same time, this awe and wonder about God's majesty. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And it blows my mind to think about what he asks here. What are we that you are mindful of us? So God is mindful of us. That means he thinks about you. You are on God's mind. That's pretty cool. And God cares for us. So the God who made that pale blue dot that we happen to be on, you know, cares for us and is mindful of us. And today we're going to talk about the fact that God wants us. That leads to the fact that God wants us. We serve a God who wants you. That's pretty awesome. Despite all of that, the vastness of the universe, we're living on this pale blue dot, and God wants us. And that should inspire us to have this sense of, oh, wow, God, you are so good. We started two weeks ago, this series, and we're talking about the five desires. Five desires of God. And last week we talked about the God who loves you. Today it's the God who wants you. Next week, Pastor Joel will be talking about the God who keeps you. And then Trevor will be up. Yes, Trevor. Woo! The God who leads you. And then the God who gives you rest. So today we're looking at the fact that God wants us. And to me, it's easy to kind of maybe just let that, you know, not really impact us. Or maybe you just take for granted the fact that God loves you and that God wants you. But there are plenty of times, especially in our culture right now, that many, many people are feeling absolutely insignificant and lost. Not only do they feel like they're just floating around on this little pale blue dot, but even on that dot, they're completely insignificant, that nobody wants them, nobody cares. But God wants us. And to me, that is just completely inspiring. It should move us to, which actually we'll look about later, but move us to praise and worship. And to bow before him. And it should also move us to a place to the fact that he wants us to allow other people or to tell other people that God wants them too. You know, so it's not just about us. We need to let this like go beyond us and go, wait a minute. So I'm on this pale blue dot and God wants me. He sees me. He knows my name. He knows all the hairs on my head. He wants to be with me. Man. I need to tell people about that. There's a lot of lonely people out there right now who need to hear God wants you. God wants you. He's not just this weird force out there. He wants to be with you. 2 Peter 3:9 says it this way. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises as some understand slowness. So this was Peter and there was this argument about, you know, or a challenge from some people were saying, you know, where's this God of yours? You know, he said he's coming back. Where is he? The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So, you know, I don't know what your thoughts are on about predestination and all those kinds of things, and that's a whole different argument for a whole different day. But the heart of God is that every person would repent. Every person would not perish. God wants to be with everybody. Now, I'm not saying that God will be with everyone because not everyone's going to repent. I 100% understand that. But God's heart, for God so loved the world that he gave, right? God died for everybody. God wants to be with everybody. Everybody. For eternity. And that's pretty, once again, that's awe-inspiring to me. And it should change our hearts. It should soften our hearts towards people. It should help keep us in that frame of mind that God, it's not just me, it's everybody. God wants everybody. Everybody was created in his image. Everybody. God wants everyone. Wants everyone. There's no exceptions to that. So the thing is, to get there, though, to be with him, God wants us and to be with him, there's that repentance part of it. God wants everyone to come to repentance. And I think that's the stumbling block for a lot of people. Because not only do we need to think, okay, God loves me, he wants me. I think in culture, a lot of people think, great, that's cool, great, God loves me. I think I spoke about this a little bit last week, you know. God loves me, he wants me, that's awesome, warm, fuzzy feelings, that's great. But he wants me to repent. Ooh, wait a minute. No, if I need to, I'm actually pretty good. My neighbor, you know, I'm pretty sure they got a meth lab in there. I don't do that, so they need to repent. I don't. You know, I mean, the worst I get is maybe I kicked my cat yesterday. I think it's easy for us sometimes to take the God wants us and we think maybe, oh, yes, he does. But then that the repentance part so that we can be with him, that God wants a relationship with us, but it requires repentance. It requires this turning from ourselves, basically, and trying to save ourselves and turning towards him. God loves us and God wants us. But to really receive that love and walk in a relationship with him, it starts with repentance. And that's God's desire, is that everybody comes to repentance. And I think it should help our attitude. It should keep us humble, too. Because we can think, like I say, we can look out in culture, we look around the people around us, coworkers, whatever, and we think, man, those people, they got to give it up, man. Those people are horrible. They need to repent. But God wants everybody to come to repentance and not just, I mean, obviously the initial repentance where we turn our lives over to him and we say, I'm not enough, I can't do it. We call that getting saved. You know, we get set free from sin and death. There's that initial step. You can look at it like peace with God. We make our peace with God. But I think repentance also comes throughout our lives where we start looking at the peace of God. So the more to function with the peace of God in our lives, we continually need to repent. We continually need to speak to Jesus and say, God, forgive me for my sins. We need to walk in that attitude of humility. And that's what God's calling us to do. He wants everybody to be with him, and he wants everyone to repent. So then everyone can have peace with him and then have the peace of him. So that leads us to the next part. So God wants you. God wants all of us to be with him. And I will say this several times. I understand that not everyone's going to respond to that. There are going to be many who will not repent. It blows my mind sometimes reading in Revelations where there's judgments and there's stuff happening, and whether, once again, what your theology is on that, it doesn't necessarily matter whether it's like real or, you know, it's just there's going to be a time where God will be revealing himself in ways that are so obvious. And instead of repenting, everyone's going to go, curse you. I'm just like, what? They even know it's God. They get mad at God for all the stuff that's going on. So I get that. But God's desire is that we all need to be, or he wants all of us to be with him. So we need to keep that in mind. So where does that lead us? Let's read the rest of that psalm that I read, Psalm 8, verse 5. You made him, talking about humans, you made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. So God has, you know, we're created in the image of God, right? We all have this, we have this glory, this image of God on us, and that gives us value. And God has created us, you know, to be with him. And so we need to remember that, that everybody was created in the image of God, and God wants all of us to be with him. But he's also given us stuff to do. So he's given us glory, he's given us a value, but he's also given us responsibilities. Verse 6 says, you made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all the flocks and herds and beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, all that swim, the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. So he starts out with praise, he acknowledges God's greatness, and then he looks at what God has given us, and he's overwhelmed with praise again. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name as all the earth. God has put us as the human race in authority. He has given us authority over this planet. And he has called us to do things. We are to be good stewards of this planet. We are to walk in what he wants us to do. So God didn't just create us, and he doesn't want us just to put like, oh, look, I got some trophy people up on a shelf. You know, You know, I'm not 100% sure why. You know, I look at my life and I go, God wants to use me to do stuff. Wow, that's nuts. I'm a mess. But he has. He has given you an authority, and he wants you to use that for his purposes. And part of that is to develop our relationship with him first and foremost. We need to repent and be with him, but then also to draw other people to him and to use what he has given us for his kingdom, to build his kingdom here on earth. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We have stuff to do to praise and glorify God in our lives here. So we have an authority. We have this desire of God to be with us. He wants us. He created us. He gave us this glory, in a sense. He put the image of God on us. And he sent his son to die for our sins. And now because of that, we can repent. And then we can give back this authority, or we can yield the authority he has given us to him, and then allow him to do stuff and build his kingdom and allow more people to come to repentance. You know, so we have stuff to do. So one of the things that I want to look at here in closing, or I'm not going to say in closing because I have no lung, but is one of the things I think reading the scripture about God wants us and looking at this topic, I think is really, really relevant for this time. And it's in 1 Timothy. So he wants us to do stuff. He wants everyone to be with him. So in 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4, it says, I urge you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, and intercessions and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Once again, God wants all men to be saved. So what this scripture is asking us is, you have been created in the image of God, and so is everybody else. And therefore, God wants all of us to be with him. That is his desire. So your job, one of the things that you do, maybe in the midst of a pandemic and in the chaos, you're thinking, I don't know what to do in a political upheaval. Washington's chaotic right now. You guys, you know that. You don't have to be a prophet to see that, right? It's like, it's just absolute chaos. I don't care who you voted for. It's absolute chaos. And you might be thinking, what am I supposed to do? You're supposed to pray for everybody. And then he emphasizes, for our kings and all those in authority, for all of them. As Christians, I think this is so needed right now. We need to bring this message to the world that says, God wants you. God died for you. God wants you to be with him for eternity. And it's a message of peace. So before we start fighting for our freedom, so like I can do what I want, we need to start fighting for the spiritual freedom. Jesus didn't necessarily come to die for your sins, or, you know, so that you can go out and just do whatever you want. He came to die for your sins so that you have freedom from sin and death, first and foremost. That is our priority. That is how we should pray. And he wants everybody to come to repentance. So when we look at our government and we think, what a disaster! It's chaos. We need to bring, first and foremost, prayer. We need to bring the message of peace and the message that God wants you. And also that message of repentance. To have peace with God, we need repentance so that we can have the peace of God, right? And what's really cool about this, you can be thinking, I don't know, what can I do in this situation? Where should I start? This is where to start. And I've talked so many times about doing the things that make God smile, that pleases God. This scripture cannot be any more clear about one of the things that we should do. If it says, I urge you then, first of all, first priority is the kingdom. First of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, thanksgiving, that's a whole other story about all those different types of prayer and the things that we do, be made for everyone, for kings and authorities, and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. We need to be a people that's praying. And our lives need to reflect the peace of God, so that when we're with people, they're just like, that's not normal. It's absolutely chaotic out there and you're not wigging out. What's going on? I need some of that. And then this is good. Okay, it's a good thing to do. And it pleases our God. It pleases Jesus. It pleases him when we do this. When first of all, prayer goes for all people around us. We're praying for our leaders. And then we're walking in humility. Because when we do this, we understand that we're messed up and they're messed up, but they're created in the image of God. And once again, I know that not everyone's going to respond. Not everyone's going to repent. I get that. But that doesn't mean we don't pray. That doesn't mean we don't go, in some place on our knees and start praying for our leaders. First, we do that. And then we see what he leads us to do after that. What are the actions that follow that? There may be for some, you know, the prayer and just living a life that exudes the peace of God will be about what you do. For others, it'll be, you know, maybe, you know, politically engaging somehow, you know. I don't know what that is. But first and foremost, we need our heart to understand that God wants all people and that we don't fight against flesh and blood. He wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's kind of what we're doing this whole series, you know. We want to speak that hope and we want to speak that, you know, let's grow in our knowledge and understanding of who God is. These desires, because they set our heart right. So then when we're out in culture that's toxic, or when we're out in the world, you know, wherever we're at, our hearts are set right before God and we have a sure foundation so that when the enemy comes in, it's like he's trying to rail on you, he's trying to demoralize you, he's trying to terrorize you. You can say, nope, nope. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is my hope. Jesus is my Savior. Jesus wants me. And not only can you live in with the peace of God in your life in chaos, but you can extend that to other people. So it's not just about a survival thing. It's about let's go out and let's be offensive. And I mean offensive as in take the kingdom out there and live it out. Live this stuff out. It tells us to pray and it says it's pleasing. You don't know what to do? Pray. You don't know, you look at your leaders and you think, oh, pray for them. Pray that God would bring them to repentance. And not in an angry, vindictive way. Break that man! But in a heart that's broken for them. You know what I'm saying? There's a difference. For some people, it's easy to pray for repentance. Lightning bolts, bring them down, crush them, destroy that person. No, that's not what he's saying. Pray for them. Pray for everybody. And if you're not quite sure how to pray, a few months ago, we went through the whole Lord's Prayer, did a whole 4, 5, 6 week series talking about how to pray. Once again, that's not the exclusive, you know, knowledge of prayer, but that's a great place to start. If you want to go back there, you don't know how to pray, do that. If you don't know what to do right now, pray. The scripture cannot be more plain. God wants all of us to be with him. So if he wants everyone to be with him, that means he's asking us to do something about that. And why God, you know, chose us to walk with him and, you know, I have no idea, but he has. So if you love the Lord and he has changed your life, we need to be living out that and allowing God to speak through us to bring that hope to other people. So one of the things I want to do, I don't know if any of you noticed, but we didn't do the prayer time during the worship. We're going to do that now. So like Trevor's going to come up. So once again, the scripture, I urge you then, first of all, so what I want you to do is our closing song is going to be an opportunity for you to pray and intercede for your leaders. So however you feel, we're not going to lead you in that. We're not. I mean, once again, one of the things I love about the fact that we have all these groups here praying, we have groups at home, you know, wherever you're at, kitchen table, on the couch, but we have all of these family groupings and households represented here and at home, but you can pray specifically for different things. You know, you kind of got a little bit different context that you can speak out prayers to. And if you're not sure what to pray, you haven't been watching the news lately, apparently. It's crazy out there. But let's just pray together. Let's pray together and seek his face. And then Trevor will wrap us up and we'll go home. But just allow that presence of the Lord, that God wants you to keep your heart soft to the people around you, especially those that you really maybe don't agree with or like. Amen? Lord, I pray in this moment that you would lead us in prayer. Lord God, we would love in our lives and in our church and in our community to do things and be a place that makes you smile, where you are welcome and you are worshiped and you are adored. And I ask, Lord God, for each one of us that you would allow change in our hearts. Wherever there is hardness, wherever there is a cynicism, wherever there is grumpiness or hatred or whatever, God, that you would soften our hearts, keep our hearts soft, and speak through us. Teach us to pray, I ask, in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen.